Good evening, and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Deng-Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, July 9th, 2018. Some South Sudanese rebels reject a power-sharing deal, which the government says was accepted by Riek Machar.
We are not part of it. This is against our belief of inclusivity, of addressing the issues.
And Sudan's foreign affairs minister says although no agreements were signed, Machar did agree to a power structure involving more vice presidents.
It has been agreed that there will be four vice presidents. The current two vice presidents plus His Excellency Dr. Riek Machar will assume the position of first vice president.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese rebels have rejected a peace deal that, according to the government, had been agreed to by both sides. The news has deflated hopes for an end to South Sudan's nearly five-year civil war. Mohamed Yusuf reports for VOA from Nairobi.
In a statement issued Monday, the opposition Sudan People's Liberation Movement said a power-sharing agreement was discussed during talks in Uganda, but no formal deal was made. The proposal presented by President Yoweri Museveni was discussed verbally in a cordial environment, read the statement, but there was no official document presented to the chairman and commander-in-chief of the SPLM-SPLA-IO, Dr. Riek Machar. Therefore, the proposal is not official, it said. The statement went on to reject the proposal because it only focuses on accommodation of politicians and ignores radical reforms needed in South Sudan. The South Sudan Opposition Alliance, which consists of nine parties, had earlier rejected the proposal. Kwaje Lasu is a spokesman for the Opposition Alliance. He says such an agreement will fail to address the crisis in South Sudan.
We are not part of it. This is against our belief of inclusivity, of addressing the issues. Above all, this discussion that have taken place in the name of a bridging proposal on governance, it's excluded completely the root causes of the crisis.
South Sudan's President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar held talks Saturday in Uganda's city of Entebbe, a peninsula on Lake Victoria. While a lasting breakthrough was not expected, there were some hopes after recent steps toward peace. The two sides had agreed on Friday to remove troops from cities after a ceasefire deal in late June. Sudan's Foreign Minister Al-Diedri Ahmed said Sunday the two leaders approved a power-sharing agreement that will return Riek Machar from exile and to the vice presidency, although Machar agreed only in principle. It was not clear if the rebels' rejection of that deal scuttled further talks tentatively, set for Khartoum and Kenya. When asked to confirm reports the two leaders were headed to Nairobi this week, Kenyan officials told VOA there was no program scheduled. The latest peace efforts are part of plans to end the civil war that erupted in 2013 after a falling out between the two leaders. The two sides made a similar power-sharing agreement in 2015, but a year later, the deal collapsed and Machar fled the country. Mohamed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
Officials say an agreement was reached in Uganda over the weekend that four vice presidents should be appointed to govern with President Salva Kiir. A tentative deal was also made on a new government structure meant to accommodate the SPLM-IO and other rebel groups. But the leaders did not sign any binding documents and were given until tomorrow to present their final position to Sudan President Omar al-Bashir. Now the rebels say they won't sign the deal as is. VOA's Catherine Nambi has more from Kampala.
After close to 10 hours of deliberations, the South Sudan warring parties agreed to about four principles during a meeting hosted by Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni and overseen by Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir. The meeting was a follow-up to earlier talks in Khartoum. Attending were South Sudan President Salva Kiir and his former vice president turned opposition leader Riek Machar. The meeting agreed on returning Machar as one of four vice presidents, who also are to include a woman. Al-Dadri Al-Dekeri is Sudan's foreign affairs minister and was part of the meeting.
It has been agreed that there will be four vice presidents. The current two vice presidents plus His Excellency Dr. Riek Machar will assume the position of first vice president, and then the fourth position will be allocated to a woman from the opposition.
Al-Dekeri said the parties also agreed to increase the numbers of parliament members and cabinet ministers to accommodate all opposition parties.
It has been agreed that the current national legislature of 400 will be topped by 150. That shall be shared by SPLM IO 100 and the opposition 50. Likewise, the executive, the current executive of 30 will be topped by 15 members. Those 15 members will be shared also by SPLM IO, which will take 10, and the other 5 will go to the opposition.
He says a deadline was set for tomorrow to finalize the agreed principles.
Whereas the government had accepted the proposal presented by His Excellency President Bashir and President Museveni, the SPLM, IO and other opposition groups said they, in principle, are ready to consider that proposal and come up with their final position. The negotiations will continue in Khartoum up to the 10th of July. Hopefully, by that point of time, we will arrive at a final agreement on all of the issues.
The ongoing peace talks are part of the regional efforts to restore peace in Africa's youngest nation. The leaders are to meet next in Nairobi. South Sudan descended into civil war in late 2013, and the conflict has created one of the fastest growing refugee crises in the world. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
President Kiir returned to Juba this afternoon after his face-to-face meeting with rebel leader Riek Machar in Entebbe. South Sudan Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elia Lomoro told reporters at Juba International Airport that meetings between the President Kiir and Machar were successful in resolving some of the more contentious issues blocking the road to peace. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
President Kiir arrived to a rousing welcome by a crowd waving South Sudan flag and chanting, "Welcome, welcome, President Kiir." First Vice President Taban Deng Gai and a dozen government officials formed a long queue at Juba Airport to shake the hands of President Kiir. The president was in Uganda to meet rebel leader Riek Machar on some of the outstanding governance issues in South Sudan's conflict. The meeting in Entebbe was part of the peace process led by Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir and Ugandan President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. South Sudan's Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elia Lomoro told reporters that Machar and President Kiir resolved some of the contentious issues blocking the road to peace.
We have agreed that the office of the president shall comprise of the president, President Salva Kiir Mayardit, and four vice presidents, one of whom will be the first vice president to be nominated by the SPLM-IO Riek Machar. The two vice presidents, General Taban Deng Gai and General Waniga, and another vice president to be nominated by the other opposition, who must be a woman in this case.
Lomoro says the government has agreed to increase the number of ministers to about 50 and the number of lawmakers in the National Assembly to more than 500.
We have agreed that the 30 ministers now existing shall remain for the Tigonu. And there will be additional 15 ministers to be given to the opposition in general. 10 will be for IO Riek Machar and 5 for the other opposition groups. We then talked about the National Legislative Assembly, and we agreed that the 400 MPs now sitting will remain in their places, and there will be additional 150 to be given to the opposition. 100 of those will be brought by SPLM-IO, Riek Machar, and the 50 will be from the other opposition groups.
And Lomoro says South Sudan will have one army during the transitional government of national unity in Juba. He says South Sudan will be governed by 32 states until the permanent constitution is in place.
The 32 states shall remain during the pre-transitional period, and within 180 days, there will be constituted an interim boundary commission, which boundary commission will determine the boundaries of the states as they are will also establish the aspirations and the feelings of the people of South Sudan about the current states. If the people say they want 10 states, the government will comply. If they say they want more states, we will refer this to the process of making the permanent constitution of the Republic of South Sudan.
He says the decision to have four vice presidents is still under discussion by the SPLM-IO, who have expressed some reservations.
The opposition say they want to do internal consultation, but for us, the government, we have agreed. So for us, we're for peace, and we have brought peace to our country. I don't want there to be any other confusion. This is what happened, and this is what we went to bring. We have brought it.
Lomoro says South Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir is expected to come up with a comprehensive document based on the agreed 2 points, and the parties are expected to sign a final peace agreement before the end of July. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
A South Sudanese political analyst calls the power-sharing proposal between Machar and Kiir a real breakthrough. James Okuk says Sudan, Uganda, and Ethiopia should ensure that any new arrangement holds so that peace can return to South Sudan. The power-sharing proposal would not only create four vice presidents, but expand the Council of Ministers as well as the number of lawmakers in parliament, as Nabil Biagio explains from Juba.
James Okuk, a lecturer of political science at Juba University, says the assurances from President Kiir and Riek Machar to work together puts the two leaders one step closer toward achieving peace in South Sudan.
The fact that the leaders of the warring parties went to Uganda, then they made a breakthrough that they can form a government of national unity and Victoria can come back and be the first vice president. That is the breakthrough of Entebbe.
Aside from reinstating Machar as first vice president, the power-sharing deal would include a woman vice president. It would create 15 additional ministries and increase the number of parliament members in South Sudan's National Legislative Assembly by 150 to create more seats for members of the various opposition groups. Okuk says the opposing groups must work together for the sake of peace.
They don't have any alternative because the situation has gone to the red level. So either they do it or they will get crushed as politicians of South Sudan. So that's why they are almost coming to compromise, because the pressure from the region and from the international community is very hard on them. And they don't have an exit except to work together and then to say we are for peace, and nobody's really want to elongate this war any longer in South Sudan.
He says even though the power-sharing deal would only benefit the politicians, the ordinary people should see peace and stability if the new arrangements are implemented.
If they bring back peace and people go back to their own normal activities, that is what the ordinary people are interested in, because the ordinary people will not be in those government offices at the end of the day. But what they want is, after they have divided power and they have accepted to work together in a government of national unity, what the ordinary people expect is that there should be a comprehensive peace in the country.
SPLM-IO spokesman Mabior Garang issued a statement today saying the SPLM-IO is not negotiating for positions, but wants to address the root causes of the conflict in South Sudan. Mabior says the SPLM-IO rejects the proposal because it only focuses on what he calls the accommodation of politicians and does not address radical reforms in South Sudan. Okuk says South Sudan's neighbors have a responsibility as guarantors to ensure that the government and opposition groups implement the final peace deal in good faith.
The guarantee is the regional leaders, especially the Ugandan president and then the Sudanese president. And if they are joined by the Ethiopian president and the Kenyan president, these frontline states, if they come up very seriously with punitive measures and sanction of those who will spoil the peace agreement that is being pursued and that will be implemented, I think all of these leaders will be afraid, and then they will start to behave themselves and follow what they have committed themselves to.
The Sudan-mediated face-to-face meetings between President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar are expected to continue through Thursday when the parties move to Kenya for additional talks. Okuk says the leaders are expected to work out the details of the power-sharing proposal in the coming days. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
Tune to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. After the break, we'll have more reaction to the Entebbe proposal. Stay tuned.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
are you able to communicate with friends and family overseas?
Not frequently, yeah, but once in a while I communicate through phones, through internet, with my sisters, my brothers.
Very well. Through WhatsApp, email, and through phone calls. We communicate regularly.
Yes, I do a lot, but not every time. Only sometimes when there are issues, I need to talk to them. Or hell is whenever sometime they need to confirm something where I am.
Most of the time they do the calling. But sometimes through the internet applications like Yahoo chat, we are able to communicate.
Before was not easy, but now the world of technology. So we just use Facebook, Twitter, we can communicate with phones.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The SPLM in opposition has rejected the Entebbe proposal, saying it is not inclusive and does not address reform issues or outstanding matters like establishing the hybrid court of South Sudan or addressing the country's economy. Mabior Garengde Mabior, the national chairperson and spokesperson for the party, says the proposal does more to accommodate positions of politicians than address the responsibilities of those politicians.
We are also surprised by the information which is being circulated in the media, because according to what I know, the meeting was a verbal meeting. There was no documentation of the actual proposal. Everything was discussed for many hours, and then our chairman, it was not given a document, and so we said that we would look at the proposal and then we would submit our reaction to the proposal, but we did not. There's nothing that has been signed and nothing that has been agreed.
What media reports, in particular, are you referring to?
Well, there's something which is circulating on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and WhatsApp groups, different WhatsApp groups, and it is alleging that the SPLM-IO signed a proposal with four vice presidents and a very bloated government. So this is not an official document, because there was no real document that was given to the SPLM in opposition in Entebbe.
The SPLM-IO did deliberate over the proposals. As I understand, your group did talk about what was proposed in Uganda. What was wrong with the proposal? As I understand, you have rejected the proposal. So what was wrong with the proposal?
Well, the main issue that is wrong with the proposal is that It purports to be a power sharing agreement, but in reality, it's just a proposal which gives the SPLM in opposition the first vice presidency and does not address the issues of radical reforms in the country that are needed, because South Sudan is a failed state. At a very early stage of our independence, we are a failed state, and that failed state has led to war. And so in order for us to stop the war, we need to address some of these issues. The Entebbe proposal is really it's not really a power sharing, but it is an accommodation of politicians. And we are not struggling for...
What do you mean by accommodation of politicians?
For example, the first vice president position would go to the IO, but there will be no real... There's no real discussion about the roles of the and the responsibilities of the different positions. So we just look at that as just trying to give us positions and really not effect any reforms in the country. The country right now has no economy. There's no accountability for the oil revenue. So we want fundamental change in the country of the status quo. and will not just Dr. Riek Machar to be accommodated and a few SPLM in opposition politicians to be accommodated, then we go back to business as usual.
But you've also argued that Machar should be included in this process, the process that you just described. Does this proposal not meet that demand?
Well, that's when we have an agreement, of course, we are going to have to discuss how it will be implemented, and we're going to need a government to implement it. And so the position of the first vice president or whatever position comes out of the negotiation will be one portion of the whole negotiation and the whole agreement. And so we are not putting so much emphasis on that. We're putting more emphasis on the reforms that we want. And then later on, of course, you cannot implement it in a vacuum. You're going to need to implement it with a certain leadership. But the Kampala proposal does not address those reforms. It only addresses and puts more emphasis on sharing or on accommodating Dr. Riek Machar.
That was Mabior Garengde Mabior, National Chairperson and Spokesman of the SPLM-IO, speaking to me earlier from Nairobi. South Sudanese refugees residing in settlements in Uganda's West Nile district of Arua have hailed the efforts of regional leaders to get the country's warring parties to work towards a lasting peace in South Sudan. But some say they still have doubts about the sincerity of their leaders. Simon Peter Apiku has the story for VOA from Arua.
Regional leaders intensified efforts this month in a fresh attempt to get South Sudan's warring parties to agree to a deal to restore peace in the country. Presidents Omar al-Bashir of Sudan and Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni have been crisscrossing the region along with President Kiir and Riek Machar. A South Sudanese refugee, Gire Rose, who resides at the Imvepi settlement in Arua district, says her country's leaders must do much more for South Sudanese to believe they are sincere.
They sat together, they discuss about peace. When they come together to Juba, they sit there and they start fighting. So we cannot say they are going to have that peace. We don't think so.
Yengi Chaplin, another refugee at Imvepi, claims South Sudan's leaders are simply caving into pressure from the region and international community. He says the leaders must be serious about ending the war and the suffering of South Sudanese.
The thing should come from my heart, not being forced to do it. So if it is something that is forced by other people, then though I shake a hand with you, still in my heart, I still have that pain.
Bidal Jeffers, a South Sudanese refugee at Arua's Rhino settlement, says the previous peace processes placed too much emphasis on power sharing among the rival leaders and helping them entrench their positions rather than on the basic needs of ordinary South Sudanese. He says the interest of the people must come first this time round.
Put the people first on the table and what the people needs out of them. Then they don't forget about their struggles, their differences in power struggle and so on.
Paltut Yak, another South Sudanese refugee at the Rhino settlement, says he believes the agreements concluded so far will help restore peace in South Sudan if all parties embrace and implement it fully.
We want them to accept all those peace process. That's what Sudanese will be in peace this year. And I hope this 2018 to be the years of peace.
As South Sudan commemorates its independence anniversary today, some South Sudanese at Imvepi settlement, like Rose, who fled the country around the same time 2 years ago after renewed fighting in the country, say they have nothing to celebrate, as painful moments of the events that followed continue to haunt them.
We cannot celebrate because our country is now these days, we cannot know exactly what is going on in that country. We are not hearing something about peace. Even if you heard something about peace today, tomorrow you heard that some people are killed there, and that one even it becomes difficult. We cannot celebrate it.
Bidal Enoch, also a South Sudanese refugee at Imvepi, agrees. He says the condition he finds himself in due to the war does not give him reason to rejoice.
Celebration comes when you have happiness, and the happiness is when there is peace and you are at your home. As I talk now, I sleep on a mat, I always eat beans, so where will the happiness come from?
Some South Sudanese at Imvepi refugee settlement say they had high hopes after their country became independent in 2011. They argue the conflict that broke out in December 2013 not only dashed all these hopes, but they also lost loved ones, property, and became refugees and dependent on the generosity of others. For VOA News, I am Simon Peter Piku in Arua.
South Sudan's first vice president, Taban Dengai, says security across parts of South Sudan has improved. While delivering President Kiir's message on the eve of South Sudan's 7th independence anniversary, Guy says all armed groups, including opposition forces, are respecting the cessation of hostilities agreement signed in Khartoum 2 weeks ago. He says President Kiir is calling on the international community to support the peace process. Waki Simon Mudu has this report for VOA from Juba.
Speaking over the weekend on the eve of the country's 7th independence anniversary, First Vice President Taban Dengai says the ceasefire deal signed in Khartoum 2 weeks ago is holding and claims the government is working to restore stability across South Sudan.
I'm also pleased to report that the armed groups across the country are largely observing the ceasefire and in compliance to the cessation of hostilities agreement, which all parties to the conflict committed themselves to recently in Khartoum.
The recent cessation of hostilities agreement signed by the armed warring parties in Khartoum is aimed at ending the nearly five-year conflict across South Sudan. Last year, authorities in Juba cancelled all official celebrations of the country's independence because of a lack of funds. Last week, Minister of Cabinet Affairs Martin Elia Lomuro announced the government is too broke to organize any official celebrations of Independence Day. This marks the third consecutive year that South Sudan is not celebrating its independence due to the country's hyperinflation and a shortage of foreign currency. In the capital, Juba, the mood is calm. Streets are quiet and there are no large functions scheduled at Dr. John Garang Mausoleum. This afternoon, the mausoleum was filled with children playing instead of holding the usual official gathering that includes dignitaries, civil society activists, and the public. Guy says the country's economic crisis is to blame for government's failure to throw a party to celebrate the country's independence.
Your government is fully aware of the prevailing economic conditions in the country. As expected, the war situation in the country is a great source of hardship for many families, and your government, through its economic team, is working to remedy this situation.
The first vice president says President Kiir in particular is working hard to find an end to the conflict and improve the country's economy. Guy adds the Ministry of Finance and the South Sudan Central Bank are addressing the rising exchange rates of the South Sudan pounds to the U.S. dollar, which has affected the price of goods in the marketplace, but acknowledged the two institutions have not succeeded in resolving some of the country's toughest economic challenges. The first vice president appealed to the international community, the regional bloc IGAD, and other partners to help the warring parties reach a peace deal, saying the people of South Sudan have suffered too long.
To help us in achieving peace and stability for our people, I want to appeal to all international partners, the IGAD countries, the East African community, the African Union, the UN Security Council, and the UN General Assembly, to continue to support IGAD-led mediation as well as national dialogue process in South Sudan.
During his oath of office in July 2016, Guy promised to improve the country's economy and end the conflict in the country. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
And that's our show for this Monday. We leave you with the song Africa Unite by Bob Marley. I'm Ayen Dengbior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Africa Unite, 'cause we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our party.